I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, we're going to tell you about one of the most original voices in Washington radio in the 1960s. He's the subject of a new film. But first, it's time for Dispatches, where we check in with our correspondents from across the globe. Today, we go to Nigeria in West Africa. Kidnappings of foreign oil workers have become common in the Niger Delta region, where militants have been staging the kidnappings to call attention to their demands for a bigger share of Nigeria's oil wealth. Last week, however, the world was outraged by the kidnapping of the latest victim, 3-year-old Margaret Hill, the daughter of a British oil executive and his Nigerian wife, who was abducted as she was driven to school. She was later released, but the episode raises questions about whether this signals a new level of brazenness by Nigeria's anti-government militants. Here to talk about this are the BBC's Abdullahi Kaura Abubakar, based in Nigeria's oil capital, Port Harcourt, and from Accra, Ghana, NPR's West Africa correspondent, Euphemia Quist-Arkton. Welcome. Thank you both for joining us.
Pleasure.
Hello.
Kaura, if you'd start us off, you covered this case. Now, can you briefly tell us, how did this happen?
Yes, on Wednesday last week at about 7, between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning, unknown gunmen stopped a jeep in which little Margaret Hill was being conveyed to school somewhere on Location Road off Ada George Road in Port Harcourt, the oil city, and snatched her at gunpoint after breaking the side window of the jeep and shooting sporadically in the air to scare away bystanders, and made away with the girl.
And it was pretty clear that she was the target, correct?
Yes, it was very clear that she was the target.
And how long was she held?
Well, she was held for about 5 days. She was released on Sunday night.
And you spoke to Margaret's parents after her release, and here we have a short clip of what they said.
I'm very happy. She's bitten a lot by mosquitoes and that, but she's very active and not much worse for wear. I'll take a break and a holiday, but I live here and I work here. Just because people get mad, they kidnap the children, is very worrying, but things have got to get better. They can't get worse. If it frightens everybody you hear, the whole country will be empty.
I feel so bad for my country. It's not fair. I'm there angry, badly angry to my country for this. It's very wrong, of them. I don't like it. I'm not happy.
Kaura, 5 days. I mean, the parents must have been out of their minds. Is the assumption that they paid ransom, or do you think that they did not?
Well, initially the gunman had asked the father to swap places with his daughter, but he didn't do that because the security agent asked him not to do so. And later on, the gunman asked for ransom, but they didn't say how much. But eventually, she got released, and the authorities here are insisting that no kobo was paid in ransom before her release on Sunday.
Euphemia, this abduction shocked a lot of people, but you were telling us earlier that this isn't even the first time a child has been kidnapped in the region.
Indeed, it's the first time an expatriate child has been abducted in Nigeria's oil-producing Niger Delta, but a couple of other Nigerian children of executives have been taken, and apparently ransoms have been paid for their release. But of course, it's adults who are the main targets, and it's mainly oil workers, and oil workers from all parts of the world, all nationalities, in the past 18 years or so, have been abducted. And as I'm sure Kaura will tell you, the problem is now people don't know whether they're being abducted by those with ideological, political reasons who say that they want more regional control of Nigeria's oil wealth in the Delta, or those who have resorted to criminalism and criminality because they know that taking an foreign oil worker hostage is big, big money. So this is the problem Nigeria now faces, and the new government of President Umaru Musa Eradua are facing.
This case attracted a tremendous amount of international attention. Do you think that that was partly because of the child was an expatriate, a child, or do you think it's the age? Why do you think this case sparked such an outcry?
Do you know, I don't think it matters whether Margaret Hill was expatriated or not. Just the fact that any kidnapper would have the gall and the boldness to pick up a 3-year-old, break the car window, and snatch her has appalled everyone. It's appalled Nigerians. It's appalled foreigners. It's appalled everyone. And people realize that the problems in the Delta have reached a degree when even children are not safe. Perhaps take their fathers or their uncles, but children. So I think it really has put the Niger Delta on the international map. And the fact that she's British probably, yes, did it, because, of course, many foreign journalists were interested in this case and highlighted it.
But you're saying and throughout the region there was interest in this case. It wasn't just the international press, that in country many people were disgusted by this action also?
Oh, my goodness. You should have heard the sort of text messages that were going to radio programs and call-ins. I think Nigerians were absolutely appalled. They were outraged that anybody, even if they have political, grievances against the government, even if they're criminals, should stoop to picking a child. Oh, no. All over West Africa, people, I'm here in Ghana. People were talking about this case, but how can they take a child? How can they take a child hostage? Mm-hmm. People were praying for her release, first of all, but on the other hand, also saying this is absolutely unacceptable. The Nigerian government must do something about this problem.
Kara Ofebia was making the point that it isn't necessarily even clear anymore who is behind these kidnappings, whether these are people with ideological motives or whether they're just criminals trying to get paid. Do you have a sense there in Port Harcourt? Do you have any sense of what the government believes to be the case? Has any particular group taken responsibility? Do you have any sense of what was the motivation for this particular kidnapping?
Well, the motivation for the kidnap clearly was for ransom, which was clearly money that motivated this gunman into kidnapping little Margaret Hill. You see, here in the Niger Delta, we have two groups that are engaged in the kidnapping of be it oil workers or little children. There are some that do it for ideological reasons. That is where groups like the Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta are involved. And there are also groups that are, in most cases, unknown groups that kidnap people for ransom. And they are clearly the ones that have been terrorizing people here in the Niger Delta.
Kara, why do you think, if ransom was not paid in this case, why was the child released?
Well, I think the reason might not be far from the fact that this action drew condemnation from both locally and internationally. Everybody was disgusted by this action, and even the militant group, the Movement for the Niger Delta, went after these kidnappers itself and warned them, and we are still awaiting the punishment that the group, the Movement for the Niger Delta, said is going to mete out to the kidnappers of Margaret.
And what about the new government? As we've talked about on the program, Nigeria has a new government. The Bush administration sent a representative to the inauguration as a sign of its support. How did the newly elected government react to this situation? And is there a sign of how they intend to try to get a handle on the situation in the Delta? Whereas Ofebia has pointed out, these kidnappings have become rather common.
The kidnapping of Margaret Hill clearly embarrassed the Nigerian government. That was why the president himself, Alhaji Umar Musa Yar'Adua, called on security agents in the Niger Delta to do all they could to see that they secured the release of Margaret Hill unharmed. However, the government, ever since it came into power, has been making moves to see that it tackles the problems of the Niger Delta. The vice president of Nigeria himself is from the Niger Delta region, and he's been in talks with leaders, community leaders, with even the leaders of these militants, with a view to finding lasting solutions. Recently, a committee was set up at the various state levels, and there is also a central committee in the Niger Delta that is working with these committees at the state levels to find lasting solutions. But so far, nothing concrete has been achieved yet, because these militants are going about their activities unhindered. Although the governor of Rivers State, Safalet Lomehia, some time ago said they were going to beef up security in the Niger Delta, but I'm yet to see that happen. And if it has, I'm yet to see what impact it will have on the activities of these militants.
And finally, Ofebia, Nigeria supplies the U.S. with about a fifth of its crude oil imports, but I think many Americans might like to know what the region is like and what impact that oil production has had on the Niger Delta area.
A devastating impact on most areas. I mean, let me just describe the Delta for you. It's these lush green mangrove swamps, and you go up and down the rivers in a maze of creeks in what they call speedboats. This is just a small wooden boat with an outboard motor. Most people are literally using dugout canoes, and they complain about the conditions they live in. Not only the poverty, where the oil of Nigeria and the wealth of Nigeria is pumped from, but also the devastation of the environment. I mean, talk about oil spills. Talk about gas flaring. Everything happens in that region. And as Kaura has mentioned, those who say that the wealth of the country must now come back to the region and that there must be development and there must be progress and there must be more schools and clinics and so on are saying it absolutely is not fair. Nigeria is Africa's top crude oil producer, the sixth, seventh, or is it the eighth in the world? And yet right here, where the oil comes from, people are living in pitiful, pitiful circumstances, and their livelihoods have been ruined by oil. That oil is not at all the blessing it should be for Nigeria. It has been absolutely a curse.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Afebia. NPR's West Africa correspondent, Afebia Quist-Arkton, joined us from Accra, Ghana. Abdullahi Kaura Abubakar is the BBC correspondent based in the Niger Delta. He joined us on the phone from Port Harcourt. Thank you both so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.